Guys, welcome. Welcome to Wake. How are we doing this morning? All right. Hey, if you are in seventh or eighth grade, you've been to Wake before, welcome back. I like Wake Unplugged. Like, it's a nice change of pace, but I am excited for the energy that is in here this morning and all the people here together. It's super fun. If you're in sixth grade, welcome for the first time. I hope you don't feel too overwhelmed. I know you step off the elevator and there's loud music and people hanging out, and it seems like everybody's hanging out with somebody and you're like, where do I go? But that's not the case. That's not true. There's plenty of people here that are new, and we want to help you get connected. So if you have questions about that, man, the place you can always go, whether you're here for the first time or the 50th time or the 100th time or whatever, is that Wake desk right when you step off the elevator, right in front of you, that desk. Man, go there. Ask one of us that is there, whether it's someone on staff or a leader that's there. Ask them questions. Ask them some questions. Get some answers. And so check that out. I want to introduce you before we start the message. We can actually bring the lights up a little bit more so that way people can see. I want to introduce you to our team. These four and myself make up our Wake team. We are here all year round trying to make this place a place where you love to come, where you can get connected, where you can learn about Christ and how good it is to follow him. You got Rebe Long, Sydney Coode, Jacob Alger, Ryan Oaks. They are awesome. And you should get to know every single one of those people that you can. And so along with them, I want to introduce you to David Pinyol. If you're in seventh or eighth grade, you've probably seen David at D-Town or other places like that. David is our student's director. So he's the director of Wake and Shoreline. You will definitely see him some this year. He'll probably come in to teach at certain points, and then you'll see him at places like D-Town and other places as well. If he's here, you should absolutely say hello to him as well. He loves hugs. Go up and give him a hug. And so get to know him. He's awesome. And then also this school year, we have four other people on our team that are in our institute program, that are in the fellowship or the residency here with us, that are jumping onto our Wake team for the whole year. Cam, Madison, Jake, and Oakley. Madison is sick, so she's not here today. You might have seen Madison before because she's been a small group leader with us for a couple of years. But Cam, Jake, and Oakley are all here at Watermark for the first time and are excited to be here. They are awesome. You should literally get to know them. They are, all three are right there. They're all standing together. Look at that. That's cute. Get to know them. They are great. Wake is a place where we want you to be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. And we do that in a ton of different ways. We try to make the lobby a place where you like to be, where you can have snacks at your fingertips, along with ping pong and video games and shuffleboards and a pool table that somebody ripped, and food and all those things, and really just a place to hang out and to connect with each other, to connect with leaders, to connect with us. We try to make this place in here a place that is fun. Jesus said following him is the abundant life. And we all believe that that means abundant. It doesn't mean boring. It doesn't mean sitting and twiddling your thumbs and never laughing. We view laughter and fun as a way to worship God together. And so that's why we do a lot of the fun stuff we do. And Josh is going to lead us week in and week out in our with our band and all the volunteers that are playing here. Man, to sing songs that are true about God that will stir our hearts, because music has this incredible, unique way to stir our hearts that other things can't. And then, man, almost every Sunday or Saturday that you are here, man, we're going to teach a message from stage. We're going to get in God's word together and talk about how it applies to our lives. And specifically how it applies to your lives and what it means. And what is this thing that we're talking about? We're talking about Christianity and following Christ, and why does it matter? And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about Wake, and we're going to talk about it in this sense of being known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. And so today we're going to talk about what it looks like to be known and accepted and why that's important and what that means and why that is the way that Jesus has called us to live. So you can go in your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 1. That's in the New Testament, about two-thirds of the way in. Mark is one of the four accounts of Jesus' time on earth. It's actually the shortest account. And in Mark chapter 1, we will see Jesus call his disciples for the first time. While you're turning there, I'm going to ask you to take 10 seconds to pray that God would teach you something, and then I'll ask him to teach us as well. So take 10 seconds and ask God to teach you something right now. God, only you have the words of life. Only you. And in your word, and as we read it today, God, would you teach us something that would help us live lives where we are known and accepted by others, because that's how we're loved by you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. How many of you guys went out to the lake this summer? Anybody go out to a lake? Not the lake. There's not just the lake. I guess White Rock would be the lake. But so I did not go out to a lot of lakes as a kid. It just wasn't something we did. There's a lot of reasons to go out to a lake, right? You can hang with friends. People exercise at White Rock Lake. Maybe you hang up a hammock at a lake. Maybe you just want to be parked out by a lake, especially if it's 80 miles from Santa Fe. But a lot of people go on the lake to do, to get on a boat and to do all those activities on the lake. Tubing, skiing, wakeboarding, obviously. Growing up, I grew up in a town, fishing, Hudson, don't forget the fishing. Growing up, I grew up in a town where we're near a lake, but there's two big rivers in town, and we would tube a lot. That's what I did. So I just sit in a tube and go like this fast for 3 hours and go down the river. And so, and Schlitterbahn was there too. And so I didn't do a lot of lake activities. I didn't ski. I didn't water ski for the first time until high school. And I didn't try wakeboarding until a few years ago with my friends Harrison and Reby. And here's how it went. I just wanted to show that funny video. And boy, you know who would not let me live that down was Harrison and Reby for weeks after that. Anyway, what I want to talk about today is the essence of wakeboarding, which is the wake. All right? And that's the name of our ministry, and that's obviously why we're talking about it. And a wake, in case you don't know what that word means, a wake is a path left behind the boat. As the boat moves forward, the wake is the path that's left behind. When wakeboarders go, they mainly stay in the wake. The real good wakeboarders will do tricks outside the wake. I obviously cannot do anything outside the wake except fall. But our ministry is called Wake, and it wasn't one that we just drew names out of a hat and we were like, Wake, sounds good, we'll be Wake. No, we called it that for a reason. And the reason is that we want to be people that follow in Jesus' wake. We want to be people that follow in the path that Jesus leaves for us. And really, when you look at Scripture, all Scripture leans toward that principle of following in Jesus's wake. And what I want to do in Mark chapter 1 is look at Jesus's first words when he called the disciples to follow him. All right? And we'll see something pretty cool in Mark chapter 1. So we'll be looking at verses 16 through 18. And we'll throw it up on the screen in case you don't have your Bible. It says this: one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. And Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. And so what I think is really important to see here is that Jesus' first call to his disciples was not, "Hey, go fix yourself and then follow me." It was not, "Go clean up your act and then follow me." It wasn't, "Go make sure you do all these good things. Walk that old lady across the street. Feed the hungry. Give money to this charity. Look a certain way." And it also wasn't, "Hey, make sure you stop doing all these other things. Make sure you're not doing things that you're not supposed to do. Once you got that figured out, come follow me." That is not what Jesus' call to them is. But it's a call of, "Hey, just come follow me." It's a call of proximity. Not changing their behavior. His first call is one of proximity, and which means just, "Hey, be close to me. Follow behind me. Follow me as I go." And that is the call for us as well. Now, What if you've ever wondered, why does he say fish for people? Or you just thought that sounds really weird and maybe even creepy. Here's what he's doing is he's inviting them into something bigger than they've ever known. He's saying, hey, you guys have been fishing your whole lives. That's what you do for a job. But I want to show you something even bigger than you've ever known. I want you to be a part of something greater than you've ever been a part of. And that is the invite to us as well, is that if we would follow Jesus, man, we would experience more than anything we've ever known. We'd experience more than just the wanting people to like us, more than the desire to have great grades or be the starting quarterback or have this spot or be the most popular or be the best dressed and have the coolest sneakers. Jesus invites us to be a part of something greater. And that's what he does with the disciples. And so the first call is to follow in Jesus's wake. And you got to know that what we want here for you more than anything else is for you to follow in Jesus's wake. If you come through 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in small group and in wake, and all you do is just change your behavior, but you're not actually following in Jesus's way, you don't actually love him more, you don't actually want to follow him more, then we have failed you. What we want more than anything is for you to have hearts that love Jesus more because you've been tracking with wake and small group and because you've seen how good he is. We want you to follow in Jesus's wake, and the rest is going to take care of itself. We strongly believe that. So that's what we're going to talk about the next 3 weekends. Today we're going to talk about being known and accepted. And if you are known and accepted, and if you know and accept people, it's going to set you up to walk in Jesus's wake. And so here's what I mean by that. We have to get people in the boat. To use that wakeboarding analogy, we have to get people in the boat. Nobody has their best wakeboarding experience alone. Nobody, when they look back and think all the times that they wakeboarded, when they pick out their favorite ones, it's almost never going to be, when I was by myself. It's going to be when they were with people. And in fact, if you think about it, if you think about your best experiences in your life, chances are, I'm going to guess that most of them involve other people. Some of our best experiences, most of them are shared experiences, if not all of them. And that's true. And to prove it, I'll give you another example. How many of you guys saw the wonderful movie Toy Story 4 this past summer? Loved it. And so let me say two words to you. Ducky and Bunny. All right? Now, when you hear that, if you've seen Toy Story 4, you think of those two stuffed animal characters right there. If you haven't, unless you've seen the preview or something, maybe you don't. Maybe you're just thinking of a duck and a bunny. Now, let me say two more words. Plush Rush. All right, and so the people laughing are the ones that have seen Toy Story 4, because when I say Plush Rush, it calls to mind a scene in Toy Story 4 that was really funny. All right, and so if you have not seen Toy Story 4, though, you don't know what scene we're talking about. And in fact, I saw that with Emily, and actually we took our daughter. It was like her first movie ever. She doesn't remember any of it because she's only 9 months. But we were dying laughing at that scene in the movie. And I won't spoil it because you should all see it yourselves. But even after the movie, I can't spoil it. It's like a pet peeve of mine. I'll never spoil anything. Even after the movie, we were laughing about it. And then, man, when we got around other people that saw it, we were talking about it. And honestly, we're laughing even harder just talking about it than we were in the theater. Because we're just remembering how funny it was. Rebe had seen Toy Story 4, and so we're laughing about it together, and we're laughing harder than when I was actually in the theater. And the reason for that is that, man, when we get to share experiences, man, it makes it that much richer. It makes it that much better. Because experiences are better with others. And I don't give the Toy Story 4 example to make you feel bad, but to point that out, right? Even if you're an introvert and you get recharged by being alone, I'm going to guess that still some of your best experiences involve other people. And so we have to have others with us as we're following Christ to be known and accepted by others as we walk in Jesus's wake. And let me give you three reasons for that. One is it's always best to have people in the boat. We got to get people in the boat because it's always best to have people in the boat. We said that nobody has their best wakeboarding experience alone, right? It's always best to have others in the boat. How many of you guys has this ever happened to? You're telling an incredibly funny story to somebody. You're just telling, and you're like, as you're telling it, you're having trouble finishing it because you're laughing so much. And you're just like, you're not going to believe what happened. And then you're telling this story and you're laughing. And then at the end, the person just looks at you and go, that is funny. Right? That's the worst. They don't laugh. They don't even give a courtesy laugh. They're just like, yeah, that is funny. And they're not even smiling. And you're like, what? You don't actually think that's funny. You're just saying that's funny because you're ready to be done with this story. That is annoying and the worst. All right? But when that happens, what do you always say after that? I guess you just had to be there. Right? That gets said all the time. But you know what? That's just most of the time, that's really just pretty true. A lot of times, you do just have to be there. And for us as humans, we were built for relationship. We were created for fellowship and shared experiences and shared lives with each other. We are created to be there. And so to see this, I want to check out Genesis 2, starting in verse 18. So to give you, we'll throw it up on the screen, but to give you some context, God has created the galaxies, the stars, the earth, the sky, the sea, land, and he has said, hey, it is all good. And so we'll pick it up in verse, and then he makes Adam, and he saw that was good. And we pick it up in verse 18. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper who's just right for him. And so the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So Adam is given authority over all this stuff by God. And God is literally bringing animals to him. And he's like, what do you want to call this one, Adam? And Adam's like, aardvark. And what about this one? Hippopotamus. What about this one? Giraffe sounds good. Which, high-pressure job. I don't know if Adam felt that at the time, but that is a very high-pressure job. But this is the first thing that God said, it is not good. It is not, everything he created was, it was not, it was good. But it is not good for man to be alone. And after this, we'll see God create Eve. And while that's important in the sense of God creating marriage and man and wife, it's also equally important to point out Adam was never meant to be alone. And neither are you. You are not meant to go through your life alone. You are built for relationship. It's always best to have others in the boat. And that's what we are about. In Wake, we want to set up opportunities for you to have other people in the boat. If you are new here in sixth grade, you need to grab one of these cards on your way out because it's going to tell you how to sign up for small groups. Because small groups are the best thing we do. It is a place where you will get other people in the boat with you. These adults sitting around you, they're not creepy. They're not chaperones. They are leaders of those small groups. And their job is to partner with a small group and lead that from sixth grade till they graduate from high school. My wife is in the lobby right now with our daughter, and her girls just graduated high school. She started with them actually in seventh grade, but they all went to college. They all left a couple weeks ago. And they have formed a tight-knit bond between them where they share their lives together, where they are known and accepted by each other. Man, you seventh and eighth graders have gotten a taste of that, and it's only going to grow if you will invest into it. And so if you are not in a small group, grab one of these cards on your way out from the Wake desk and join a small group because that is the best way to get other people in the boat. And here's why else we got to get people in the boat, because it's always easier to have other people in the boat. How many of you guys have actually been wakeboarding? You're probably all better than I am. That's a low bar, I know. But could you imagine, even if you've never been wakeboarding, could you imagine trying to learn to wakeboard by yourself? Totally by yourself. No tips, nobody helping you, nobody even telling you how to put on the wakeboard, right? And how tight to make it, where to distribute your weight, how to like sit in the water while you're waiting to go, how much tension to give in the rope, how to stand, how to make sure that, how to turn back behind the boat so you don't go outside the wake and eat it like I did. Could you imagine trying to learn that by yourself? Do you know how long it would take to get good if you ever even got good? You know how frustrated you would be? It's always easier to have others in the boat with you. And we talk about this place being somewhere you can be known and accepted. And the reason is because we understand that everybody wants to be fully known. And when we say fully known, here's what we mean, is that people know you. Not just parts of you, not the parts you want to share, not the parts you want to put on Instagram, not the parts that look good, but every part of you. The stuff that you're embarrassed about, the struggles you have, the disappointments you face, the things you want that maybe you don't have. The parts of your heart that you've never shared with anybody, that's what it means to be fully known, is to be authentic and real about all that stuff. And everybody longs for that. You may think to yourself, I don't actually want that. I don't want to share every part with somebody. And I'm not saying we want you to share with everybody in this room. That'd be crazy. But there need to be people in your life that know you fully and that know all those parts. And if you're sitting out there going, I don't want that, I promise you, deep down, in the deepest parts of your heart, you do, because that's how God created us. I know that's how God created us. And sometimes we will create fake versions because we don't want people to know. And it's our way of hiding. We're not even the first ones to ever hide. All right? So we just looked in Genesis 2. If you looked in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve sin and sin comes into the world, look what happens in verse 8. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. And so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And you see Adam and Eve hide from God, who's all-knowing, all-powerful. This is the Lord God. I mean, it's even Lord is capitalized. It's all capitalized because he is all-knowing, all-powerful. And they're trying to hide from him, which is crazy. It sounds crazy. Like, hey, let's hide among the trees, right? But we will do crazy things to hide because we think we don't want to be fully known. Maybe we're ashamed of certain things and we want to like cover those up. We don't want people to see that. We just want people to see the fake version that we think they will like. And that's crazy. And it's exhausting is really what it is. Keeping up a fake version of yourself is exhausting. And eventually people will see through it. A lot of times we want our lives to look like this picture. All right. And if you're like, what? Let me explain what I mean. Look how trendy this picture looks and cool. Look at that. Her head's at an angle. She's got flowers. She must be somewhere like tropical. She must be like somewhere where it's just beautiful, right? And she's like, oh, this is going to be a great spot for a picture. Look at where she actually is. She's in Hobby Lobby. All right. This was like an internet thing a few years ago to go into Hobby Lobby and to take these like glamorous pictures. And that's the reality of her life, but you wouldn't know that if you just looked at that first picture. And sometimes we will do that same thing where we will present a picture of ourselves that is not real, but looks better, or we think it looks better. And in reality, we're in Hobby Lobby, right? We do that. I know that's funny. I put it up there because it's funny, but it's true. Like we do that. Whether it's on social media or whether it's just in the way that we present ourselves to people. We don't. We make sure to share certain things that make us look good, but other things we're like, I'll never tell anybody that. And that's just not the way we were called to live. And if you're going to walk in Jesus' wake, if we're going to walk in Jesus' wake, we need to be fully known by people. And your small groups are a place where you can be fully known. And there's promises that come with that we see in 1 John chapter 1. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, if we are following in his wake and being fully known, then look at these promises. We have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves, and we're not living in the truth. The promise that comes with being fully known is to have fellowship with each other. right? To have deep relationships with each other. The people in my life that know me, man, I have deep relationships with them. I've got three friends from high school that we still keep in very close touch. Two of them were co-best men at my wedding. Another one was in the wedding. And we still, man, we talk on the reg. And we know what's going on in each other's lives. And I am fully known by those guys, along with other people. I'm in a community group here that's similar to your small group, except we're, in our late 20s and early 30s. And they know me. The people on my team, they know me. I know them. I know where different areas that they're struggling, different areas they want to grow. And we have a tight bond with each other. And that's the promise. But not only that, if we are fully known, we will experience all of God's grace through Christ the way we are meant to. And so that is the promise. Just like when we're learning to wakeboard, when we allow others to see our weaknesses, they're able to help and coach us. And if we don't, we are dead in the water. And we're sinking, disappointed, frustrated, never learning, never growing. So we got to be fully known. It's always easier to have others in the boat. And then lastly, man, it's always more fun to have others in the boat. I was looking about a month ago. I was just kind of scrolling on Instagram one day looking at my friend's Insta videos. And I look on this friend's video, and what should I see except Rebe Long wake surfing, right? And it was a mutual friend of ours. And Rebe was hanging out with them and some of their other friends on the lake. And they were doing wake surfing. And as I was scrolling through this friend's videos, here's what I saw. At first, it was just like one person behind the boat with the rope wake surfing. And then they got rid of the rope, and it was just one person wake surfing without the rope. And then there'd be two people wake surfing at the same time. And then I'd see like two people there, and they're trying to feed them potato chips while they're wake surfing. And it just got more and more extreme as it went on. And here's what I realized. One, who knew Rebe could wake surf? But two, she's probably better than me, which is, again, low bar. But two, the other thing I realized is, man, that would never happen if it would have just been Rebe in the boat. Like, she might have wake surfed, assuming there was a driver of the boat. She might have wake surfed, but man, it would have never gotten more and more extreme. Nobody would have been feeding her potato chips as she's wake surfing. And it wouldn't have been as fun. And it's always more fun to have others in the boat. Think about this. If you have been trying to nail a trick, let's say you've been wanting to jump the wake the whole summer. And you've been falling and falling and falling and failing and failing and failing for weeks. And then finally, you nail the trick. Would you rather that be by yourself or with a bunch of people? Totally with people, right? If you do something awesome, you want people to see that. Because it's more fun and they can cheer you on. They'll be like, yes, you have eaten it so many times, but you finally nailed it. And we are fired up for you. You want other people in the boat because it's more fun. It's more life-giving. And guys, man, being fully known and fully accepted, that is life-giving. And that is fun. When we say fully accepted, I mean, man, when people fully know who you are and they know all the parts of you, even the parts you don't want them to see, and they stick around. And they say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for you. That is life-giving. That is the kind of friendship we all long for and the kind of relationship we all long for. The opposite of that, being fully known and not accepted, where we share who we are with somebody and they stiff arm us and they say, no, I think I'm out on that. That's like our greatest fear, right? It's that fear that'll make us sometimes create fake versions of ourselves. But to be fully known and fully accepted, man, that is life-giving. And that's how Jesus loved us. And Jesus actually tells us how to do that in John chapter 13. Let me throw it up here. It says this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And so you might look at that and go, the word accepted isn't even in there. What do you mean? Well, Jesus says, hey, as I have loved you, you should love each other. All right, so let me unpack real quick how Jesus has loved us. God is all-knowing. Psalm 139 says, he formed us before we were in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts that you think that you would never say out loud. He knows the times where you judge other people and think yourself better than them. He knows the times where you've lied or stolen or cheated or made fun of people behind their back or to their face. He knows about all the darkest parts of us, every sin that we have committed, maybe are committing or will commit. And in light of all that, in light of knowing all that messy, dirty stuff, man, he became human, shared that experience with us, died on the cross, even though he didn't deserve it, the only one to live a perfect life, died on the cross, didn't stay dead, 3 days later rose from the dead so that we might have new life in him, that through him, the very thing, that sin that kept us from having a relationship with him, is paid for, and we can have a relationship with God. Man, that's what Jesus did, and that is how he has loved us. He has fully known us, but then also fully accepted us in the cross. And we are called to love people that same way. And not only that, the world will know that we are his disciples by the way that we love people, by how we love people that way. So I want to say right now, this place, Wake, your small groups, anytime we're somewhere, retreat, D-Town, Dallas Experience, anything like that. Man, this should be a place where it is a safe place to be known, because it also comes with being accepted. This should not be a place where, man, we mock somebody or make fun of somebody for who they are. But we can love people by knowing them and accepting them, by welcoming them in. That's how you do it. You're like, how do I accept somebody? What does that mean? Do I say, hi, I accept you? No, that would be weird. And that would creep people out. But here's what you do. You welcome people. You say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Why don't you sit with us? Or you just get to know them more. And you don't walk away and you don't go, I'm out on that. I don't want to hang out with that person. No, you welcome them. You hang with them. You get to know them. And that's what we want to be here. Because that's, one, how we will walk in Jesus' wake. And two, that's how the world's going to know that we're walking in Jesus' wake. And as people see us doing that, they go, man, something is different about the way that they love each other. I want to walk in the wake that they're walking in. And we'll go, great, it's Jesus's. Come on, let me welcome you in. I accept you. Just kidding. Don't say that part. And so that's how we want to love people. And if you have never... put your faith in Christ and what he's done on the cross, that's your first step. And so any of the people that I showed up there, if you have questions about that, please come talk to us. Any leader in here, any adult, you could go up to and say, hey, I want to know more about all this stuff with Christ and the cross. I want to know more about what that means. I want to know more about what it looks like to follow in his wake. If you're in a small group, bring that to your small group. This is a safe place to not know all the answers, to want to know more. It's an okay place to not be okay, to bring in your struggles, to share them with people. You could come up to any leader, any staff, and say, hey, I need to share something with you that I've never shared with anybody. This is a safe place to do that. You can be fully known and fully accepted here. And that's how we're going to walk in Jesus' wake. Let me pray that we would. Real quick, before I pray, let me say two things. Got you all to look down, and now we look back up. Two things, real quick. The way Wake works, just if you're new at sixth grade, I just want to let you know, I know in Crossroads, your parents come pick you up. In Wake, it can work one of two ways. Either your parents can come up here while you can still get your last few ping pong games in or anything like that. Your parents can come up here and pick you up, or... as long as you make a plan with them beforehand, you can go meet them down there somewhere else. If you haven't made a plan with them, I would say hang here until they come get you. But in the future, you're welcome to go, hey, let's just all meet by the pond. If your parents are okay with that, cool. You guys are welcome to hang in the lobby as well, as much as you want. Also, leaders, we'll have leader rally starting at 10:35. So now I will pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you knew us fully and accepted us fully first. Not that we did that, but you did that for us. So, God, will that be the motivation for us to love other people that way? God, will you give us courage to share the things that are going on in our lives that maybe we don't want to share or are uncomfortable to share. God, will you give us courage to share that in our small groups? If we're not in a small group yet and we're still waiting to get plugged into one, God, will you give us courage to share with somebody today? If there is something on your heart today, if there is anything that you've placed on our hearts to go, hey, you need to share this, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't leave till we do. And Lord, I pray that you would give us love and compassion. I pray that we'd see people the way you do. God, that we might love them and welcome them in, because that's how you loved us. And so, God, we ask this knowing that we can't do it alone by ourselves. We need you. And so we ask, you know, it's by your grace, it's for your glory and our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen.